Bubble! Good evening and welcome to Burst the Bubble, live on Cam FM. I'm Michael Quintario.
And I'm Chris Smoten.
And this is a show about frivolous news. We look at all the fluffy news stories from the past week rather than the hard-hitting serious ones, and basically just laugh at them and laugh at things tenuously related to them.
Yes, it was sort of have a good news for you for the faint-hearted.
And we're going to start off with something that you quite possibly wouldn't get on TV shows, news. Basically, we're starting off with a bit of a superhero theme this week. Starting off with a story that in Japan, a superhero tiger mask has been apparently donating money to orphans and orphanages.
Right, yes, indeed. It seems that what's happened is the gentleman in question, or possibly the multiple gentlemen in question, possibly the multiple gentlemen and ladies in question, we just don't know, have been walking into orphanages and places of the sort, dressed in a mask, donating random items, and then leaving a note that identifies themselves as Tiger Mask, which is apparently a character from Japanese manga from the 1960s, who is a wrestler. Who donated his income to the orphanage where he was raised. So it's a sort of do-gooding flash mob. The flash mob element comes from the fact that there's been more than one person doing exactly the same thing. But it appears as though they all sign the same identity, but they aren't actually the same person. So Tiger Mask is a sort of a hive mind.
I mean, it was really confusing when several of them meet up. Who are you? I'm Tiger Mask. Who are you? I'm Tiger Mask too. Got a bit Spartacus.
Yes. Who are you really? I'm really Tiger Mask. Tiger Mask is me. No. You. Wait, suppose for a moment you weren't Tiger Mask. Imagine yourself into the consulting room where you're ordered to reveal your true identity on pain of death. Now what would you say? Oh, that's easy. I'm Tiger Mask.
Yeah, okay, so it's not quite a superhero. It's a professional wrestler manga character. But I like to think of it as being a superhero because, well...
Yes. Wait, he clearly has the trappings of a superhero, doesn't he?
Wearing a mask and doing good.
Wearing a mask, got a pseudonym, doing good, yes. The only missing element is terrible violence. which
he's a professional wrestler, so there's a violence.
Oh yes, but he's not employing his wrestler. He's sort of he's not employing his violence. It's like you know how Clark Kent was a very non-violent person. You know, he was a reporter, and then Superman almost invariably uses crippling violence in order to solve the world's problems. So this is kind of the logical opposite, in which Clark Kent was a sort of a killer for hire, and then Superman was a philanthropist who does good by night. So I can only imagine these tiger masks are terrible, terrible people by day.
Many orphanages have received satchels of as fruit, vegetables, and bags of rice. And one donor left more than 92,000 yen in cash with a note saying there were tiger masks across Japan. Some obviously slightly richer than others.
Well, some that were richer than others, they're now all roughly equally poor. But I think Tiger Mask is going to have a little bit of a problem at this stage because he's got most of the superhero trappings, but where does his story go next? So if you were a proper superhero, the kind of thing that would happen now is, oh, okay, right. So I'm just going to quote liberally from the movie Kick-Ass. So at this point, the kid's done his superheroing, and then you get copycats, right? And then you'll get people walking along the street, sort of, you know, dressed as Tiger Mask, trying to take credit for being Tiger Mask, without actually themselves being Tiger Mask. But whereas in the film, what happens is he then gets into all sorts of trouble because angered drug barons start taking revenge on the decoys.
Who's going to take revenge on someone who's helping orphans?
Right.
Someone who's just got a really big grudge against kids without parents.
Right, which is what I'm saying. Like, the movie's going to be rubbish for Tiger Mask because at this stage of the game, people will be walking up onto the street, walking on the street, shaking his hand, and the real Tiger Mask will be like, "Oh, that's mildly irritating."
it's not just a
less compelling story.
There's not much scope for action figures either.
Right.
it's a man wearing a Tiger Mask carrying something.
Yeah, you can push a lever and it makes him give.
Who would the enemy of Tiger Mask be? I don't know, like state bureaucracy man.
We
can't accept these donations.
It's got to be people who hate children, as you say. Who hates children? Sort of a logical opposite of Santa Claus. If Santa Claus has an evil twin, then that would be the enemy of Tiger Mask.
Tiger Mask versus evil Santa.
Anti-Santa. What happens if you say Santa backwards? You get At-Nas. At-Nas. That actually sounds all right. At-Nas. Behold At-Nas. Coming to take from children their presents.
Comes down people's chimneys and then steals things.
I think you'd have to come in through the door and then exit via the chimney, which is much less convenient. You would, like, storm in through the door, nick all the stuff, and then sort of spend about half an hour trying to laboriously climb up the chimney whilst holding a big bag.
The problem with supervillain, he had one of those, like, bat claw things. You just shoot up the chimney, it hooks on, you just go...
you got to be careful it's a real chimney. You get a lot of ornamental ones now, you know, where there's a fireplace, but the chimney doesn't really go anywhere.
Yeah, you just fire up and it goes clink, and then you get a hook. It's like falling back down on you, possibly at, depending on how high the flue goes, possibly at great velocity. Perhaps this has already happened to At-Nas. Perhaps that's why Tiger Mask hasn't had to defeat him. He defeated
this is
himself
is
back.
A thing I've just made up. Every time he comes to be, his monumentally stupid metaphor just sees him immediately destroyed.
talking about Kick-Ass, there's another story here which is very similar. Like, I'm going to have to describe this, some of this, in a proper kind of voiceover voice.
Okay, so like that guy who does movie trailers.
Yeah. Is it just one guy? It sounds like it's just one guy.
It's either one guy or there's a very good school or a cloning vat.
By day, Martin Fawkes has a normal job in publishing. But by night, he's a black mass ninja patrolling his neighborhood to keep the streets safe. that's the story in the Metro. Pardon?
Coming this summer. One man, etc., etc., etc. Okay, so what's the actual story, Michael?
That's basically all of it, to be honest. This guy has just been training with lots of people to become a ninja so that he can go out and fight crime.
And fight crime.
He has actually fought crime. It's not something that he's just done and go, oh, yes, I fight crime. He has actually gone out and... He fended off muggers in London, and apparently he also restrained a man attacking a woman in Norwich.
Okay.
So
that last one I'm quite impressed by. See, broken up a mugging I'm not so impressed by, because you need more detail than that. Because breaking up a mugging could include walking out of Boots and going, oi! And the people in question go, oh, Christ, you're running away. And that would be a terrible film. Superhero's main job is compelling narrative, and you can't get that out of going, oi! And then running away.
He apparently worked with the Dalai Lama's former bodyguard. It just feels slightly wrong that the Dalai Lama has a bodyguard.
Are you sure this story exists? The Dalai Lama's bodyguard?
Yeah. former bodyguard. Perhaps he thought, why have I got a bodyguard? I'm supposed to be all peaceful.
Oh, well, that's just it, though, right? I mean, the Dalai Lama himself can't fight back against even trivial assault. Like, if a small child were to start kicking him in the shins and refuse to stop, the Dalai Lama would be bound by his credo not to fend the child away. He could try and persuade the child, but that might take quite a while, and his shins would take a really, really serious pounding. So what he needs is, you know, some bodyguard to sit there and fend off irritating
small children.
Yes. So that's the kind of job we're looking at.
Yeah, now you said that, being trained by the guy who did that doesn't sound quite so impressive.
That and murderous Chinese nationalists. That makes the job a bit more impressive.
Oh, dear. There's a very interesting picture with light glinting off the sword. That probably doesn't... That sounds like a really stupid idea if you're being a ninja having a sword that light glints off. You can track the ninja by this floating glint.
Yes. He disguises himself as a motorcycle by the single point of light. I don't know. It'd be a bit weird if you thought that was a motorcycle. There seems to be a motorcyclist, so I can't see the rest of him. And he's doing some weird sort of tricks on that bike there.
Wheelie.
And it looks kind of sharp.
That would be the worst criminal ever.
You'd have to be a blistering idiot to actually pull that.
the father of one who lives at a secret location in Suffolk. Is it really? Or do people just like see him going home?
In many ways, all locations in Suffolk are secret. The Suffolk Tourist Board has done a terrible job.
It doesn't say what he does. Publishing. He's in publishing. So surely, it's not all that secret because, well, he'll be on like his tax returns or whatever. Well,
yeah, if you wanted to track down the ninja of Suffolk, you probably could do it.
Would you want to? He sounds deadly. This sounds like a job for Atnas.
No, but the ninja is more of a proper superhero, though. You know, because he's using violence, basically.
Being a ninja is about being a person who can help others.
His film would have the proper deal. You know, at this point, some muggers would come and like bust into his room and go, "Ninja man, you're not going to be putting me off my boots related muggings no longer."
You smash him
in the face.
Ninja man.
It's the default superhero name. If you don't specify otherwise, then you are a ninja.
Captain Ninja.
Major Ninja. Colonel Ninja.
Ninja.
Ninja isn't a title.
Ninja Square.
It's madness. Reverend Ninja. You can pretty much stick any title on there. Lord Horatio Ninja. That's not a title.
Ninja MP. Oh, that would be awesome. This guy should run for Parliament.
I would watch a trashy drama series. Well, seriously, a trashy comedy series named Ninja MP.
Oh, I like that.
The following series, Ninja Casey MG.
By day, he has a normal job as an MP. But by night, he takes the law into his own hands.
And the terrible irony is that as an MP, by day, he takes the law into his own hands.
So, yes, the only way he could top that, really, is if he was actually, before he took up his post as an MP, a lawyer.
Okay. So he could rotate the three jobs. By morning, he takes the law into his own hands as an MP. By afternoon, and running into late evening, he takes the law into his own hands slightly more directly as a lawyer. And then by night, he needs some sleep. But when he can, he is Colonel Ninja, MP. What's the honour you get if you're a lawyer? You got a thing after your name.
QVC? No, that's a shopping channel.
QC, I think.
QC.
QC, Queen's Council. QVC, I don't know, actually.
Quality, value, choice.
What? Really?
Yeah, it's really weird. You hear about these things. Like do you know what HMV stands for? Besides, at the moment, just being short for not making as much money as they used to.
Yeah, yeah.
That was in the news. See, that's relevant. No, it's His Master's Voice. That's why the dog's on the logo.
With the dog, yes, yeah.
Because the gramophone, it's so realistic that
he thinks it's his master's voice. The dog isn't listening to the music. He thinks he's obeying commands.
Yeah. Is it just going, sit, stay, stay,
destroy stay. Humanity.
I was going for just something that was going to be the first record ever, just really boring, and now you've gone into destroying humanity. people sending encoding secret messages to dogs.
Yeah, everybody knows that music's got evil messages recording into it. Well, it could turn out to be for dogs.
Well, it could be, because we wouldn't be able to hear them.
Right, exactly, yeah. Unfortunately, CDs can't actually reproduce sound that high, so the messages have been rendered ineffective. That's why we've seen that the dog revolution has really slackened off since the mid-80s.
This sounds like a job for Ninja MP QC. Saving us all from dogs. And we've got one more here, which isn't quite superhero, but it's a spy, which is another thing that young boys aspire to, so I think we can put it in the same section. Although, this is actually about Anna Chapman, who was the Russian spy who was expelled from the US last summer, and now she has a new show, Mysteries of the World with Anna Chapman.
Yeah.
That one was voiceovered by someone completely different there. It's not otherwise it had been Mysteries of the World by Anna Chapman.
No, that one was more like Michael Conterio doing David Attenborough doing Michael Conterio.
Here we can see. I don't even need to go any further.
So her show, Mysteries of the World. I mean, don't let the title deceive you, because the title makes it sound good. But what the show seems to be is a sort of a, it's a collection of funny old world kind of incidents. I mean, obviously, far be it from me to make fun of people who point out silly things in the news, because there's obvious problems with that. But she's got a real budget and the Communist Party behind her, and what she's managed to produce is, so her first show was a long exposé in which they found a kid who has, who appears to have Quranic verses written on his skin. Now, well, that's basically the Islamic equivalent of when you find Christ in, like, the rust on the back of your car, or, you know, burned into a piece of toast, or, you know, those things where you find the face of Christ in mundane phenomena, and then there's a silly news story about it. This is essentially the same deal, different religion, and that's her big story.
It doesn't sound as upmarket a job as spying, really. It sounds like a bit of a step down.
Right. Unless this is her new cover. But if it is, it's not a very good one.
A new cover in which she's spying inside her own country.
And a new cover in which everybody says, oh, hey, you used to be that spy. Which is amongst the worst possible introductions.
Hey, and we see what she's finding out about on TV. That's so, Yes. I'm not going to add her to our list of superheroes and supervillains. I don't think that really justifies it, to be honest.
I think Atlas would kick her ass.
So, what do you think? Any comments on superheroes, spies, or random philanthropic wrestlers? You can get in touch with us, studio@camfm.co.uk, or you can go to our website, www.camfm.co.uk, and you can get in touch with us there.
We're going to take a brief musical break now, but we'll be back afterwards talking about more silly news.
97.2 camfm.co.uk.
On air and online, your Cam FM.
Hello and welcome back to Burst the Bubble with me, Chris Moten.
And me, Mal Quintario.
That was The Air Near My Fingers by the White Stripes. And now it's time for us to talk about a little bit more silly news. What's our first story up, Michael?
Well, we're going into crime now, which is obviously silly.
Crime doesn't pay, and furthermore, is daft.
So, first off, we've got a drug-smuggling pigeon.
Yeah, okay. No, I take it all back. That is silly.
The important thing is, like, just how something could go wrong. This sounds almost like it's something that should have come out of, like, Monty Python or something, because some people try to smuggle drugs into a prison by giving them to a carrier pigeon to carry.
We should point out sellotaping them to a carrier pigeon rather than, you know, like, not giving it to them as in, go, pigeon, these drugs are yours. Do as you will with them.
Carrier pigeon has had been used in the past to smuggle mobile phone SIMs into there, so it's not entirely stupid, but this 45 grams of drugs was too heavy for it.
Unspecified drugs.
So they found the bird on a block away from the prison trying to fly over, but it couldn't. Due to the excess weight, it could not accomplish its mission.
Oh, right, see. They don't specify exactly what was going on, but this conjures up the horrible image of the pigeon sort of repeatedly taking flight and attempting to sort of attain an appropriate trajectory to get over the prison wall, but sort of hitting two-thirds up the wall and sort of going whap down to the pavement. Ah, how irritating, in pigeon language, obviously, before going for another run.
It could be like a new game for mobile phones. get the pigeon.
Well, then you supplied heroin to death row. 100 points.
Oh, well, there are some other great things, isn't there? This is a new case of criminal ingenuity, said the Bucaramanga police commander. Try saying that 10 times fast. But I'm not sure it's ingenious, because it fails.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a fairly cunning plan. I would never have considered actually using carrier pigeons to source my illegal drugs. That's not something that would have occurred. So,
what were they thinking? Like, we've done this with SIM cards. I mean,
yeah,
maybe
try
something else.
If it really worked once, you just need something as light as a SIM card that's as valuable as a SIM card.
I've heard some people complaining about their broadband. Once pitted their broadband against a carrier pigeon with a USB stick.
Ah, okay, yes, yes, yes.
And they gave the pigeon a 4 gigabyte USB stick and tried to transfer a 4 gigabyte file using their broadband. Yeah. And the pigeon won.
That will legitimately take quite a long time using your broadband. So yeah, I would not be surprised if the pigeon did the trick. That's like, it's still the case that the most efficient way to ship a lot of data, like transcontinental, is to get yourself a shipping container full of an appropriate memory device, just full of hard disks or something, and just put it on a ship. That will be the fastest way to get it there.
In some small way, that kind of makes me happy, because it means all these seafaring skills that people have built up over the years still have meaning and purpose in a modern world.
Well, at least some of them. I mean, you know, one of the seafaring skills we developed was, like, you know, the ability to sort of man a sailing vessel on a 6-week voyage across the Atlantic. Whereas, admittedly, I'm not much of a seaman, but I'm pretty sure that on modern boats it's more like point it towards America and press the go button and then wait until you hit the cliffs at America, assuming there are cliffs. There might be a beach. If so, when you hit the beach at America, that's okay too. Don't forget to check that it's not Ascension Island. I think that's the complete manual. Follow those instructions, see if you reach America. If you don't, you have my sincere apologies.
this is a very, very bad punny segue now. Because we're staking with crime and birds in some sense. Police officers in Tayside are tweeting while on the beach. I'm pretty sure they just called it tweeting just for that sort of joke. Pretty much.
They thought to themselves, one day, there will be a frivolous news show, and that frivolous news show will need a segue, and that previous story will probably have been about pigeons lifting cocaine.
Well, I meant more that they'd have, that people would be able to talk about it and talk about birds in general, but rather than this specific instance.
And if they're in Essex, that'll have additional implications.
The 3-point trial will see community officers providing people with updates on meetings, traffic and crime prevention advice. So you'll be getting tweeted stuff like don't have your iPod hanging out or something, I assume.
Yeah, I suppose. Or they could real-time track some known troublemakers. So they could be like, you know, Steve the Violent is currently lurking around Brimham Road. So
stay indoors.
Yeah, stay indoors. And then, you know, Steve the Violent's nipped off for a kebab. If you want to go and grab a quick trip to the shops, now's the time. That'd be quite useful. It'd be sort of the Marauder's Map. You know, except for instead of telling you where teachers are in Hogwarts, it's telling you where violent thugs are in wherever it is they are. Tayside.
Perhaps someone will actually take the data that's coming through this Twitter account and actually do that, because that would be... I'm sure that's feasible.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It's a location of Steve the Violent Google Maps mashup.
Yeah. And I like the mashup. The idea is going to, like... Yeah. Like dum, 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 just, like, have some sort of techno beats and then just people reading out bits from this Twitter feed.
Yeah, the nature of the music changes dependent on the level of danger. So at the lowest level, it's sort of serene classical music. If you switch it on and it's like thrash metal, you know, then you know you're in trouble. If it's clubbed to death, that's a fairly obvious message. That's a song, by the way.
And also, they are trialling My Police, which will allow people to send police anonymous feedback via a website. So I'm just imagining it's going to be like eBay fire feedback. So you get some people going A plus.
Would arrest again.
Property was recovered, and then you'll get police did not turn up on time. Negative feedback.
My grandma is dead. F minus. But that's a phrase to Google. I wonder if that's a Google wreck. But it's an odd naming. My Police is nothing like... So they're clearly going for MySpace here. You know, My Police, MySpace.
But it sounds like something that a little kid would get.
Well, it's wrong in two ways. Number one, MySpace is so 2002, and it's nothing like MySpace. It's like, on MySpace, you'd sort of, you know, send messages back and forth and so on and so on. Whereas, this would only be like MySpace if you could go on the, like, the police's page and read everybody else's complaints, which would be sort of a, like a review site for criminals, rather than a review site for the police. You know, that'd be, you'd, like, rob a dozen houses and then go on My Police to see whether you see whether it showed up in the appropriate places.
Deputy Chief Constable Gordon Scobble. Scobby, says, simply broadcasting messages by whichever channel is no longer enough. What really makes a difference is giving people the opportunity to engage in a two-way conversation with the police about things that matter to them. I don't think you need a two-way conversation via the internet to work out what people want from the police.
Well, and if you do, then if only we had some sort of communication device which functioned in both directions.
We have some sort of number, perhaps, to make sure that you connect to the right one.
One that could let you connect to the police in particular, maybe quickly, like more quickly than most people. That would be great. If we could get to work on that, you wouldn't need this stupid My Police thing.
I know, and we could even try and make it really memorable so that people would be able to just connect to the police without thinking.
Yeah, yeah. We could even make it a popular prank amongst small children. That would probably serve to sort of boost its image a bit.
Yeah, yeah. As you can see, we're not overly enamoured of this. Yeah. It's just one of those things, like, why? I'm still wondering.
Yeah, I think that's the right summary. I think it's time we sounded the moving on gong. That's a gong that I have to make us move on to the next story.
Gong.
Gong.
Okay, and finally in this section, we've got... I love the title. Austria hunts bank robber with Barack Obama mask. It's like all of Austria is on the hunt.
Or an anthropomorphic Austria. Where the country has lifted itself from the crust of the earth and is stomping around Switzerland looking for a bank robber. That'd be terrifying.
Yeah, suddenly
that was happening. That would be a much better story.
But yes, it's actually just the police. But they're hunting a gunman who robs banks wearing a mask of Barack Obama.
Which is an interesting choice. Because apparently the guy's got a thick Austrian accent. So I'm not sure quite what he's going for with the Obama disguise. Because if you're going to disguise yourself as a particular person, then you presumably want people to mistake you for them. You know, so like, he could have described... blah. If he wanted to stick with American politics, he could have disguised himself as Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then it's possible people would have thought that Arnie's back and robbing banks. You know, he would have successfully sort of diverted the blame. Whereas very few people seem to be buying that Obama is tooling around Austria, nicking a few hundred whatever it is you spend in Austria's. Probably euros.
But no, I think you're missing the point. The key point here isn't to look like someone so much as to not look like you.
No, but that can be achieved with the good old-fashioned sack on your head. He's got the Obama mask, but there's got to be a reason to hide that, surely. Masks, and well, maybe they are commonplace.
Apparently he used to wear... I think they're just assuming here, because how will you tell if someone's wearing a mask? But apparently during earlier raids, the gunman wore a rubber old man mask.
Ah, yes, okay.
But again...
So clearly he thought, maybe he accidentally wore a rubber old man mask that looks exactly like his own face. And then this is him sort of compensating.
But no, we're carrying on with our theme of criminals are idiots that seems to be percolating its way through various different episodes of Burst of Bubble. Because... a would-be robbery in February 2010, he turned up too late to the bank and the door was shut.
And that must have been a big come-down, sort of running up to the door and going, right, this is a robbery, give me all your stuff, in German, obviously, or Austrian. And then, I'm terribly sorry, as the guy sort of waves at you from behind the glass and says, like, come back tomorrow. I mean, don't come back tomorrow, you nasty criminal man.
We've had an email... interesting take on the carrier pigeons. Someone said, I thought that the carrier pigeons normally only returned to places where they roosted. Does this mean our prisons are secretly full of pigeons, thousands of them thronging around the outside to deter criminals from escaping by surrounding the place with their feces? That's from Saf.
That is certainly a horrible idea. She does have a point, though. That is indeed how carrier pigeons work. Because earlier I was thinking about carrier pigeons as being a two-way thing. That, you know, you would pick up Feathers McFeathers and say, go, little Feathers, go to the prison. But that's not how it works at all. You'd have to take the pigeon sort of by force to a place which is not where it usually lives, and then release it, and then it will go to its home. So if you want two-way communications, then you and the King of Sweden or whatever have to swap carrier pigeons so that you have the ability to pigeon back and forth. So indeed, yes, we must have pigeons that are homed on the prison.
I think that all these pigeons are actually secretly being controlled by a supervillain. That we're going to have to call in Captain, Colonel, Ninja, MC, QVC, QRB, BRB in.
With that array of qualifications, he is essentially equipped to deal with anything.
MA, BSI, Cantab. And appropriately for the Ninja, we have now got a song which in honour of said Ninja.
On air, online, and across Cambridge.
Your station,
your Cam FM.
Welcome back to Burst of Bubble on Cam FM. That was Enter the Ninja by Die Antwoord.
Or Die Antwoord.
Die Antwoord, sorry.
Every time I play that song, I try and look it up. Every time I forget. And every time I say it wrong. It is my enduring spiral of failure. And in that spirit, welcome back to Burst the Bubble, a show about silly news.
And we're moving on now to our anthology of marginal interest, where in the next 10 minutes or so, we're just going to burst through, appropriately, going to burst through a bunch of different stories that we've got that we didn't feel we could whiz on about for quite so long.
Yeah, not a series of bubbles. That would not make for good radio.
Bop.
Can you hear that? He's running through them now, and they are bursting. Because they usually do when they impact a solid human.
Speaking of rubbish, there's a hotel of rubbish which has opened in Madrid. Some of the rubbish, 30-40%, has been found on beaches in the UK, France, Germany, Italy and Spain.
Yep.
It's meant to show that basically how beaches are becoming filled with rubbish.
Yeah. Now, this is basically a very, very hazardous business idea, because it's a hotel made out of rubbish. But what gets thrown into rubbish dumps? Well, more or less everything. So if you're staying in that hotel and you've forgotten something, like, say, a towel or, like, you know, a charger for your camera, you know, this kind of mundane item that, you know, you often leave out your suitcase, there's a very high probability it's somewhere in the structural elements of your room. So you could just go there mining through the walls and floor until you find an example of what you're looking for.
There seems to be a common thread about having things made out of effectively rubbish. We had a biodegradable chocolate box a while back. We had a packet of crisps where the packet was, in fact, also made out of potato. And now we've got a hotel made out of rubbish.
I like that. I like the packet of crisps made out of potato. That's, you should always finish by eating the bag. It's like an ice cream cone. It's in spirit like an ice cream cone.
Yeah, that's the thing. But ice cream cones, fully biodegradable.
If they'd made the hotel out of something edible, that would be a bad idea in a similar way to the rubbish dump, in the sense that people would eat their rooms rather than just raiding them for useful supplies. Which I suppose is what happens to hotel rooms anyway, so perhaps that's part of the, like, that, you know, their business model takes that into account. That they might get back after somebody checks out and find that an entire dividing wall has gone missing because it was made of fair, you know, useful scrap metal.
So some of the stuff here he found on beaches, some of it was found at dumps, right? And items bought at flea markets. That
at least they're more sanitary.
Yeah, this is like your bike. So basically going and buying stuff.
Yeah, well,
that doesn't sound particularly innovative, really.
Well, if you were building a hotel, you would normally buy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like bricks. So, yeah, it's very much the same deal, but with random loads of stuff substituting for bricks. I wonder how structurally stable all that is, but
Elwood Safety have probably checked it, you'd hope.
I hope so.
Escape pot-bellied pigs on the loose in Southampton. This sounds like a job.
Well, this is probably a job for Atnas, is it not?
Quite possibly.
Atnas would have he would have winged pigs drawing his sleigh. I'm considering the pig to be the opposite of the reindeer here. Which it probably isn't. The opposite of a reindeer is probably something far more separate from it, like a plant. Like, you know, an oak tree. Atnas's sleigh would be drawn by oak trees. Very much in one place, whilst he whips the oak trees and says, "Go, my trees!"
No, just don't. Okay, I think you should calm down about Atnas now. But no, the RSPCA was deemed the instrument and said people should contact them if they see the animals, which should not be dangerous. Not are not dangerous. should not be dangerous. That's slightly sinister.
Yeah, it's probably all right. Give him a poke with a stick.
And I suppose, what was it? The police say the incident may be linked to a breakdown in the relationship between the couple who owned the farm they came from. One of the things that you don't really think about in relationship meltdown. Pigs on the loose.
But darling, who will take the pigs? You take the children, I'll take the pigs.
But there's our person who doesn't like children. Who could be that Tiger could... Mask's? I mean, like, you take the children. Yeah, I don't want them anymore.
That is Atmos. Which is why he's taking the pigs. Obviously.
I would say there's methods to your madness, but there clearly isn't.
No. But it looks like it from time to time. It's like how somehow they look like, you know, when it looks like there's patterns in clouds. It's like that. It's random noise, but sometimes it looks like it makes sense.
And a toy...
And the thing ends at just that moment, as though the radio station has given up on me.
An MP is sorry because his novelty tie started making music during a speech in the Commons. And the deputy speaker urged him to be more selective in future his choice of tie, which was one as part of an anti-cancer campaign. I've not heard of these musical ties for anti-cancer campaigns. Seems an odd choice.
Me neither, but I haven't worn a tie in 5 years, musical or otherwise. I have worn musical pants. highly inconvenient.
Moving swiftly on, some call for orders, yes. And then the guy whose tie it was said, "Your words of wisdom are taken on board and I apologise for you," which is really nice.
So I'm sad that they didn't tell us what song his tie played.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a few songs. I mean, like, I don't know. It was the obvious one is it could have been, like, "Raise the Red Flag." You know,
Later on, another MP said, "Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be able to compete with the honourable gentleman with regards our respective ties. But I rather hope I'll surpass him on the arguments he just made."
That's zing. That's lightning MP wit. That is actually, it's one of the weaknesses of... Oh, remind me of the guy's name.
Which guy?
The superhero, .. MP. What's the rest of his name?
Colonel Ninja MP QC.
Colonel Ninja MP QC's main weakness is his MP-esque sense of humour. He can often be beaten in duels of wits.
So something which at least livened up the House of Commons for 20 seconds or so. Moving on to... The newspapers have been reporting that an astronomer reckons that star signs now cover the wrong dates, and people should change which star sign they read in their astrology outlook.
Yep. Fear to be struck with fear, people. You may have been reading the wrong nonsense.
Apparently, some people with star sign tattoos are among those most affected by this. It's one of those things. I mean, if you get a tattoo of a sort of person's name, then you really want to be really, really sure that you're going to be staying with them, otherwise it'll be embarrassing in the future. If you get your star sign tattooed, you'd like to think that that's not that the day you were born is not going to change.
The day you're born isn't going to change.
Oh, yes.
the calendar is safe. It's purely that your star sign, the alignment of star signs to dates, will change.
It's because of the Earth's precession, which basically means it wobbles a bit.
Yeah.
Not like in an uncontrollable fashion. It's a very defined, slow fashion. Completes one wobble over 26,000 years. So you don't need to worry that the Earth's going to fall over or anything.
yep, that's fair. More or less any news story we were talking about, you could succeed with the words. So you don't need to worry, the Earth's not going to fall over.
Yes. And yes, that does cause some consternation there. Rome, we're going historical now. The Roman rise and fall might be, in some sense, recorded in trees.
Yes, right. So this is a story about how, if you look at the tree rings from the appropriate areas where the sort of Roman administrative centres were, then you find that the tree rings that are thickest, indicating good years of plenty, correspond with times of political peace. which would presumably indicate that the bad times for the Roman Empire are mainly centering around that there was shortage of supplies, and the people are like, well, you know, there's sandwiches, so I don't care too much about politics, and or there's no sandwiches, so viva la revolution. Except probably in a different language at that time.
Yeah, so in Latin.
Yeah, probably.
But I'd like to think, actually, that instead it's just the weather gets people down. It's like, oh man, the weather's really bad, I'm angry, so angry I might try and overthrow something.
So the other possibility here, I think, is that okay, so tree rings have got different widths correlating with the rise and fall of Rome. What that might mean is that centurions who aren't busy right now like to lean against trees. See? So, at those times when Rome is peaceful, the centurions are busy. When it's peaceful, they're idle. So they're leaning against the trees. And the trees are getting sort of mildly crushed. And the rings are a little thinner for it. As compared to when Rome's having bad times, the centurions are busy suppressing revolution. And the trees grow freely. That would actually produce the opposite correlation to what I'm looking for. So clearly their theory is a better one. But you get the general idea. It'd be some opposite, you know. The centurions lean against trees when Rome is having bad times because they're all sort of knocking off from duty, trying to avoid having to show up to work and brutally suppress the revolution. There you go. That makes slightly more sense than the first one. But yes, it's probably more the supply situation thing.
I'm sorry, it's gotten terribly quiet there because we've got some more emails, but we're not able to actually read them at the moment. So hopefully, I'll manage to fix those by the end of the show, which is rapidly approaching. But now the next one is a survey, and the important thing about surveys is that you have to be quite careful with them to make sure that your results are valid. You've got to make sure you get a random section of the population or what that you're trying to survey. And all this. And another thing about surveys is people lie in them. So you can only imagine the problems when the survey is about lying.
Well, you've got to hope that the people you're surveying are sufficiently confused by your questions that the proportion of people lying in one direction and the other is roughly equal. And you can say that you roughly represent the truth. By sort of cancelling out the dishonesty.
But almost two-thirds of mothers surveyed said they'd been less than honest with other mothers about how well they were coping, and almost half covered up financial worries. So mums put a brave face on things is the actual story here.
Yeah.
Shock.
Who'd have thought it?
1 in 5, span a yarn. I love that's over how long they played with their children. I'm surprised, actually. I do think we've got a low number here. I think more than two-thirds of mothers are just lying. No, come on.
All the time.
Well, yeah. Like life's going to be fair when you grow up. That sort of thing.
Fair point. Obviously, we at Cambridge University are in a fairly poor position to comment on the fairness of life or otherwise.
Yeah. But, so apparently this is all driven not by images of celebrities in glossy magazines, but sense of inadequacy caused by peer pressure at the school gate.
Oh, okay. So you're required to be sort of the most hardcore mum. Because there's a weird example in this story, actually, in which somebody related a story of having been absolutely knackered and taking an extended afternoon nap to recover from said state of exhaustion, and lying about having been busily cooking buns or something else, I think it was a cake or something, as a sort of a thing that would prevent you from answering the phone, and therefore excuse you from having been apparently unconscious for an afternoon, which seems really weird. It's like, when did it become socially unacceptable to say, why weren't you around that yesterday afternoon? Oh, I was knackered and therefore sleeping.
Because you have kids.
But aren't the kids at school? I thought that was the thing, wasn't it?
Oh, was it the kids at school?
I thought so.
That's entirely possible. I may have misread.
I thought she dropped off the kids at school and then went, right, time for some industrial...
Oh, yes,
time for some industrial-grade sleeping. And woke up at 5 o'clock to find 10 missed calls and set about spreading lies and deception.
Yeah, okay,
but that's all.
I misread that and thought it was just about some poor mum like dozing off while looking after her kids. And like, oh god, I can't believe it.
Except for girls, they're all still alive. Great. Now commence deception. That would be reasonable. Yes, then I would be right behind her campaign of deceit.
Okay, so we're coming to the end of the show. Sadly, not managed to get those emails sorted. Still trying. But we're going to sum up what we think is going to be in the news next week. And I think there's only one thing, really, from this show that's got to be in the news. It's got to be the showdown between Antas and Colonel Ninja MPQC.
We look forward to it. We're like, we're roping off precarious waterfalls, even as we speak, for a sort of a Sherlock Holmes style showdown. So show yourself, Atnas, and or Colonel Ninja, and we all look forward
Excuse
to spectating.
Me, give me his full title.
So, Colonel Ninja MPQC. You will insist on being quite a mouthful. I'd like to leave us, last of all, with just a very small story I saw on the BBC, which is that it announced that festive breath test arrests have decreased. Which is when you look at that and you think, oh great, alcoholism is going down. No, festive breath tests have descended. This is festive breath is what happens when you eat lots and lots of Quality Street.
or other sort of Christmassy chocolatey.
Yeah, yeah. It's when you breathe at somebody and they go, ah, strawberry fondant, pine nuts, caramel kegs.
Oh no, I can't cope with the confectionery smell.
This intolerable festive breath. It's very perilous to people with diabetes and the like.
Yeah, so I think that we've learned a very, very important lesson there.
That's one...
that is something to watch out for.
That's one situation we won't need Atnas to help us out with.
Atnas? Atnas is a bad guy.
Oh, heck. That seemed like such an elegant wrap-up.
Try again. Try again, quick. We've got 10 seconds.
That's one situation we won't need Colonel Ninja to clean up after.
MPQC.
MPQC.
Good night.